I want to take you on a very simple little message. Not complicated, but I truly believe it's God speaking, not just to you, but to all of us. Yesterday, he gave me a word. It was quite late, but this was the word. When I follow my soul, I follow the spirit of death. When I follow my spirit, I follow the Holy Spirit of life. And Holy Spirit, I depend on your fire to burn up the rest of the chaff and not to stop until it is all gone. I welcome your spirit to fill my soul, mind, will, and emotions, and your presence and the fullness of joy. And in Jesus' name, I receive your grace and favor tonight. Thank you. Early this morning, I heard you're to celebrate that you are a temple. And I thought, Lord, I celebrate your grace as I become a house of prayer for all nations. And I'll go back to that a little bit later. But then he made me very aware about Mark chapter 11. How many have ever seen the stubbornness in each of us? How stubborn our old nature really is. That's the Adamic part of you and me. And he gives us an example of what he's going to do through his word in Mark 11. I remember years ago he told me, Mark 11:24 was, believing that I have received, it would be done unto me. Believing that I have received. I have to believe that I have received before it actually takes place. Then he will manifest it and make it happen in me. It also says in verse 17, is it not written that my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den of robbers. So I go back now and read verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. Now, how many know donkeys don't like to be messed around with? They just don't like men or women controlling them. They have attitude, and nobody's going to change their attitude until they climb the altitude and cry out to God. Now, verse 3 says, if anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell him, the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. Verse 4. They went and found a colt outside in the street tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" And they answered as Jesus had told them, and the people let them go. Now, if somebody was stealing your donkey, would you let them go? I wouldn't. When they brought the colt to Jesus, he threw their cloaks over it. It's important to know that a cloak is a covering. Yes? So he was really identifying their covering over this donkey. He's speaking to you and to me. And he says by this that if I put my cloak on there and he rides on top of it, he can ride my stubborn nature all the way to victory. Yes or no? All right. So that says that he's the one that's doing this and not you trying to clean your own act up. That was a perfect space for amen. Try it on. Say, I can say amen to him doing this work. He can clean out the donkey in me. Amen? If I try to do it, I'll make a mess. Verse 8, many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches that they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead of those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." The kingdom of our father David was a kingdom of what? Peace, love, and joy. So they were actually prophesying. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Why do you think he went to the temple? Did he come to your temple? You can all probably remember the first time that he touched you on the interior and made your temple shake a little. And made you aware that that stubborn nature was right there saying, "Don't do this. You're going to lose control." Anybody got a little hand up?
Amen.
Thank you. All right. I'm trying to show you that he's got hidden treasures in his word. Verse 12, the next day as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in a distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. And when he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." There's a lot of theology on that, but I don't want to go there right now. And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling. What were they doing? Buying and selling. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. They were selling what you and I would represent the Holy Spirit and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers"? How many know that sometimes when you and I have attitude and we have all kinds of thought patterns, God can't heal us? Because we have all kinds of ideas that bounce into our heads that says, well, if you were holy enough, God would have healed you a month ago. Well, if you had done all these things correctly, you would have been free from this problem and you wouldn't be going through all this mess. So you better get your act together and get yourself holy like you're supposed to be. And those are robbers. They're exchanging the truth for some kind of an accusing force or thought pattern. And while those accusing forces are inside of you, that you are that temple that he wants to clean out. He wants to get rid of the stubbornness of how you think and start believing that he's the deliverer and he's going to ride this donkey to the finish line. I know that's a lot. But you know what? He's interested in changing your nature. I can also tell you that when he rode that donkey into the city, there was all kinds of commotion around that donkey, and it didn't react. That donkey stayed on course. And I don't believe Jesus was yelling and screaming at it. So he's not going to yell and scream at you. He can ride you in quietness and in peace. And even though sometimes you're going to want to rebel and scream and jump and go off course, he's going to keep you on course. He will do it. He'll bring you back. He'll straighten you out. He'll clean you out of all the robbers. He will do it, not you. So get off the case. How many of you try to ever straighten yourself out and you get quite tired? And you had to take a couple of pills to get over it. Well, come on, man. You're human. And that human Adamic nature wants its way at whatever cost that it can push your buttons to get there. Now, am I picking on you? No, I'm picking on me because he was talking to me. He was saying, I want to make this temple holy. I'll clean it out. With what? The chief priests, verse 18, and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him. Have they changed their minds? No. For they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. And when evening came, they went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, which means teacher, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but he believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Then they arrived again in Jerusalem, and while Jesus was walking in the temple courts, the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders came to him. What and by what authority are you doing these things? Why? By what authority is he cleaning the house? By what authority is he cleaning the temple today? Which temple is he talking about? He's talking about you, your body. Your body may have a lot of stealers and robbers in it. It may try to steal and rob you of your health and your wealth and your ability to function emotionally and physically. How many have ever been attacked and they know it was not you? It was the enemy trying to kill you. Has anything changed? You had a spiritual temple today, which is your body. And now you're looking at it from a natural temple that was a picture of the things to come. Yeah. It's wake up time. It's wake up time. The stealer can no longer get away with what he's been doing for years. And once the stealer can be seen, you don't trust yourself to clean him up. You trust the one that has the ability and can take and clean it up better than you and me. And he says again, and who gave you authority to do this? Jesus replied, I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I'll tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, was it from heaven or from men? Tell me. So Jesus is defiant here. Amen? They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if he says from the men, they feared the people. For everyone held that John really was a prophet. So they answered Jesus. Jesus said, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. He outsmarted them. And then he began to speak to them in parables. And it could go on. But what I'm trying to make you aware of is, he gave us a commission to submit to him, to forgive those who injured us. And part of those that injured us is our own thinking, our own way of responding to the robbers that have lived inside of us, in our emotions, in our minds, and in our bodies. This past week, I've been having a little bit of inflammation underneath my right foot. And I noticed that when I'm walking, especially bare feet, if I step on the step in the kitchen, that it actually feels like needles sticking inside my foot. And so I kind of prayed over it and said, Lord, you know, you've got to do something here. And earlier today, when I was dancing before the Lord, I had a thought. That's a robber. That thought said, you're jumping on that foot. And you know what I said to him? I'm going to let Jesus ride that donkey. Because I already knew what he had told me this morning. If I try to control myself and behave according to all the rules and regulations, I'll never get that freedom. He wants to drill a hole in my foot, but he can't win. Okay? He wants to stop me. He wants to cripple me, just like he cleaned out the temple in Jerusalem. He got rid of the robbers. He got rid of the stealers. He got rid of all the legalism that was in that temple. They made money on the exchange from the Romans because the Romans had their money, and in order to function in the temple, you had to exchange your money to use Jewish money. And so they were stealing from the people. That was part of the stealing and the robbers that Jesus wanted to clean out. Did you ever try to figure out how you're going to heal yourself? Yeah, I have. Mm-hmm. I'll put a hot compress. I'll put ice. And I'm not against any of that. It might be God talking to you. But the bottom line is, who's the ultimate cleaner-upper? It's not Mr. Clean. It's Jesus. He's got a plan. He wants you to become a lighthouse. He wants you and I to radiate light everywhere we go. Yes or no? Yes. While you and I are radiating light, you're going to irritate the bugs in town. Ha ha. How many know bugs love darkness? Yeah. So lift your hands to the gifts here. Say, Father, this is the cup that sealed the covenant.
between God and man. This is the cup of salvation. It brings healing to everyone who submits. It is an awesome gift. Because it came. Because Jesus told us loud and clear that his blood would seal the new agreement between God and man. Man would no longer be held accountable for the silly choices Adam and Eve made. They weren't very wise.
They made a mistake.
But our God provided
healing and salvation
through the second Adam.
His name is Jesus.
We also lift up this bread. We declare it to be the bread of life. What I see is two hearts here, pulsing, changing the entire nature of the bread. And I believe that when our Savior took bread, he broke it to give us an idea of how he could break down the stubborn nature in us and make us into vessels of purity that only he could create. He would pull out our old heart and put in his. His heart is a heart of
love,
compassion, grace, mercy, favor, and never-ending mercies. Never, never ending. It's renewed every day. And I believe his heart is on top of mine. His heart and mine have become one. His heart and mine are in the hands of the Father. And by his Holy Spirit, he keeps me with him so that I can be ridden into freedom. That donkey nature is losing its power. Every day it loses more. And when I take that little piece of his heart and I dunk it into his blood, the completion of the miracle goes deeper. Is it always understanding? No. Do I always comprehend it? No. Do I go forward in faith? Yes. So I take this today for what he's got planned for today for me and for you and for our nation and especially our president. For all those that we promised to pray for, those that have called for prayer, those that have been deceived and are hurting, Lord, you're more than able to heal and set them free. Amen.